farmer. Mark chapter 4, remember? We went, Jesus took them across. They never realized they were in the presence of greatness. And yet they were complaining. They were calling him names. You don't care. They were sitting in the presence of greatness. Maybe you're in the presence of greatness and you're not appreciating the greatness. You know, I like the song Pastor Calvin wrote. Someday I must learn to write a song. Amen. Let the miracle begin. I tell you, I love that song. The day you receive Jesus, amen. I'll do a one song wonder, just one and finish off. But you know, think of it. God, every day is a miracle. Don't ever discount that you need to have life. God has to give you. Oh, don't do that, friend. The miracle has begun. God lives in our heart. Amen. That's the biggest miracle, that a big God can come into a small heart and take control of this life. Amen. God. And remember, I told you that we go through life. The two storms that God allows in our life is simply for this. One is the storm of correction. Jonah ran. God corrected him by throwing him into the eye of the storm. Joseph was thrown into a storm to perfect him for a high level of service for God. In your life, storm of correction or storm of perfection, you sit down, you quiet your heart, and you say, God, allow me to know the storm of my life. Never think that you'll go through life without storm. That's a fib, and that is something that it's a lie. Every day, it's a storm. For you, it's a good day. Somebody's going through a bad day. It's a storm. We go through. Remember Mark chapter 4, we did it. This morning, I want to journey onto John chapter 4. John chapter 4. John chapter 4 is actually a long portion of Scripture, but I'm going to take only a small part of it because I don't think we can sit down the whole day. But John chapter 4 talks about a lot of miracles that Jesus done, right, with the Samaritan woman. Am I mean, no? Samaritan woman. How Jesus connected with her, how Jesus changed her life. But this morning, I want to speak on this. Jesus, the life changer. Jesus, the game changer. Jesus changes the game. How many of you watch sports? You will know what a game changer is, huh? It's a very pivotal thing, especially when Liverpool beat Tottenham. Sorry. No, but if you follow sports, I love sports. I'm an all-rounder. I love sports, any sport. And a game can be played in the first half, and it's so bad, and it's losing. And come second half, because of the change of a player or the change of approach, the game changer changes the results. Amen? It's the game changer that either brings good or brings bad. And I wonder, is Jesus your game changer? He wants to change us. You know, change, I like last week you had on the announcement that a lot of us want change, but we resist change. But yet we cry out change. And then when God changed, we resist. But this morning, I want to take on this and just articulate on this. Jesus, our game changer. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Abba, Father, even as we quieten our hearts to just hear your word, Lord, the fact that we sit in your presence, Lord, is a game-changing moment for us, Lord. And as we hear your word, Lord, your word changes the man and the woman from inside out, Lord. And that's the cry of your heart, to change us, Lord, to make us daily a little bit more like you, Lord, in the journey of perfection, Lord, when we stand before you, Lord, and hear those wonderful words, welcome, well done, thou good and faithful servant. May the servant heart in us rise up this morning, Lord, as you change our lives, as you change our circumstances, Lord, as you change the journey of our lives, Lord. Come, be with us through this morning, Lord. In your most precious name, I pray. Amen, amen. You know, if I mention the name Abraham Lincoln, do you know he was a game changer? What did he change? He wrote the article for the change that men no longer treated men as slaves, but as human beings. That was a game changer. If not for him, slave. But today we have slavery in a different manner. But nevertheless, he brought a bit of a change there. If you think of Neil Armstrong, there's a game changer. He was the first man to set foot out of Earth, Moon. It's a game changer. He changed. He changed the horizon of man. We knew we could conquer space now. We could conquer. He changed. You think of Steve Jobs. He's out of a job now, but think of him as Steve Jobs. Huh? You think of them. They brought a change. That's what we hold. iPad. I this, I that. But sad to say, the iPad has replaced the I am. You know who's the I am? The great I am. Huh? But all these men, just mere men, with the intelligence and the wisdom of God, brought change in life. Think of Jesus, the greatest game changer. No one could outgame him. He was the greatest game changer. He changed things in this world. He brought a massive change to my life, your life, to society, which cannot be unchanged. With that in the background, I want to go to this little place where Jesus sits with an insignificant woman that her name is never mentioned in Scripture. An insignificant person in an insignificant place, yet brought out the most significant change, that the Gentiles could come to know Jesus. The Samaritans could come to know God. That Jesus broke the barrier. He went there and brought a game change into that lady's life. Amen? If you are looking for a game changer, don't go on to Google. Google can't change you. Go to God. Amen? He can change. Let's take scripture from verse 39. Have you got it up there? All right, read here. Many of the Samaritans from that town believe in him because of the woman's testimony. Eh? Later we find out what kind of a woman she was. Eh? He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. There's a wonderful warning there. Words have the power to change. Words hurt, words heal. Words undermine, words can change. His words, huh? He came to because of his words, many more. We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the savior of the world, or he's the game changer of this world. He brought change. After the 2 days, he left for Galilee. This story, this is the ending. Jesus decides to go. Actually, it's not accidental. Let me tell you, Jesus never does anything accidental, but intentional. He chooses to go through this way to stop that because he knew. Remember last week I said, do you believe God knows everything from the beginning to the end? Even before you and I know what's tomorrow, he knows. Even if you and I wonder what we're going to eat tomorrow, he knows what you're going to eat. Though you think you are, you discover that, nothing. There's no more discovery. The discovery is we are discovering his truths. Huh? I dislike when people say, oh, I created this. Nobody can create. There's only one creator, God himself. Huh? And this Jesus decides that afternoon to go to that certain well to sit down there because he knew so-and-so is coming to that well. And so has a baggage. And so needs a change. And so has to meet him. You know, when I think of Jesus going there, I would think if they had the newspaper, the Samaritan Chronicle, they would have put there, what a scandalous event. A Jew who calls himself God, patronizing a Samaritan who has a questionable lifestyle. Eh? What a scandal. Newspapers will sell. Honestly, newspapers always sell when there's scandals. Eh? When it's true, nobody buys the paper. That's journalism for you, 101. Journalism 101. Yes, I'm not joking, friend. They always overplay. They like to add in things because people are hungry for scandals. And Jesus set the greatest scandal of the day by sitting down with this woman. Just I want to take this out, that nothing in your life happens without God's intention. So whatever we go through, I'm struggling, we go through, remember, He knows. And if He knows, that's good enough. The world does not need to know. He sits there with this woman. Who kicks off the conversation? Jesus! Man, I love that because I love conversations. Eh? I was up in the country for a week and I cut short and came back because no more people to talk already. Eh? I talked to everyone from the cafe to the restaurant to anywhere, the hotel. Man, exhausted my channels of communication. I said, better come back. But you know, Jesus, you know, the sad thing is a lot of us Christians have the gifts, have the talents, the calling, but we don't have the courage to tell someone. And then we go to a quiet corner and pray. Good God, He said, but I gave you the good news. I am the good news. You can't share? Are you tongue-tied? But you sit on your phone and you talk to your friends about gossip and all the news of the day? You cannot talk? He said, I gave you. You know, telling somebody about Jesus is just telling good news. What's so hard? You don't have to go to Bible school. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. That lady told the story of how her kid, that's how my kid went through, and that's my God answered my prayer. Is that wrong? Is that hard? Is that fearful to say? I don't know. I feel we are doing God a disservice, and we say, we love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. He says, show something that can make me feel that you love me and understand you love me. He's just telling a girl, this is a true story in my church, huh? Somebody loved a girl. And I can see love in his eyes. I can see love burning in his eyes. But he never told the girl. And one day, some guy bold enough went up to her and extended an invitation to have a friendship and relationship. And this guy came to me and he's so furious. Pastor Michelle, you know, I said, I know you love because I can see. But she needs to hear. You didn't tell. Sorry then, bye-bye. Gone. I can't do anything. I can't go and tell the guy. No. Serious, I'm not joking. It's a truth. And I said, tell. He said, I feel afraid. Good. I said, for feeling, being afraid, that's the reward you get, lost. Serious, friend. I can see, I look at his eye, I can see love burning. His eyeballs are melting with love. But he had no courage to go and tell to that person. And I thought, how true. You and I sit here, someday we stand before God. He said, I gave you everything. Your mouth was burning, but the courage was not there to tell. Jesus loves you. Jesus cares for you. He just wants to hear your voice. You may not believe. It's okay. I'm not talking to you about believing in Jesus. I'm just telling you, He loves you, friend. I'm not here to make you a Christian. I don't believe in making Christians. Let me tell you that. I don't. Because it's not I who make Christians, but I believe in it. If I plant that seed, He will make you a Christian. The words are so powerful. Huh? Choose the word. I love talking, joking. I have a very gregarious personality. I love laughter, joy. But you know, in my moments when I corner somebody, I always say, man, you are not going to leave that corner until you say, Jesus, I love you. Because you know why? I have this theory. I lost a very good friend and I never shared the gospel. And this word came. He said, that person that passed your life may never pass again. He'll never. The only time you may see him is in eternity. And I have always dawned upon me, I'm not going to waste the opportunity. I'm not going to waste. This morning I just went to put petrol. I'm pumping. And actually when I put petrol, my eyes are so watching people. Then after I put petrol, I went to the lady. I said, excuse me, is that guy a pastor? She said, yes. How do you know? I said, I'm also a pastor. Then I said, are you a Christian? She said, no. I said, why not? She said, oh, we grew up. But I said, you got a friend who is a pastor. Then I was thinking, this guy is not doing his work. But I don't want to say that. I don't want to be judgmental. I'm not a judge. Hallelujah. Serious. And just in my house. And I said, and she said, oh, are you a pastor? I said, where do you go? And I said, wow. Just putting petrol. Now I know. This one is a target idea. She's got a friend who is a pastor, but she's not a Christian. And the guy talked to her, but didn't. And she said, where are you going? I said, Sunday, we're going to church. You know, friend, can you just talk for the Lord? Just articulate something from this organ called mouth that you can translate to another organ called the ear. And in that translation and transmission, a heart can change. Jesus only spoke the words. Huh? And the words, but let me tell you, make sure your words are believable. Huh? Don't, in Malay they say, don't go ring with the, don't come and use fibs or what. Huh? Make sure. He spoke to them, and she listened and she heard. And Jesus spoke to this lady. Look at it. Huh? Number one, the game-changing process is an intentional one. If you want someone to change in your life or something in your life or someone, have a plan. Intentionally. Sit with that person. Engage in conversation. Leave a call. You know, when I was in church, I used 500 calling cards every 3 months. Anybody, from the food court server to the cook in the kitchen to anybody. Even my kids said, Daddy, you're mad. I will pass a card. You know why? I like to keep in contact. My Facebook is full. Eh? I want to create another Facebook. Now, but you know, friend, Ed, let me tell you, the reason you and I are here is not just to populate planet Earth. The reason you and I are here is an extension of my Creator. If Jesus was here, I bet you He'll talk to every one of us. He never passes anyone. And so Jesus said, now, the game-changing process starts from a person who has an intention to bring change in their life. Not a bad change, but I want to bring a good change for you. Jesus was intentional. But remember, in any game-changing process, there's always this bad side, the dark side of it. Jesus would have been accused, huh? Patronizing, man. You know, let me tell you a story, honest. My wife is here. Please, this is very personal. One day, I went to a red light district in Singapore. You know what's the red light district? Beautiful people hang out there. And it happened to be at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I was walking out, and I was smiling. Sometimes I talk to myself, and I smile. So, I smile. So, it seemed that I came out happily. I had a good time. I'm walking. I smile, I smile. I always smile. And then, one day, or 2 days later, I'm sitting in my office, teacher, I get a call. Pastor Miso, this is your senior pastor. Are you okay? I said, yes, I'm okay. Are you and your wife okay? I said, yes. Are you having any problem? I said, hold on. Then I said, hold on. Why? Where is this conversation leading to? Why suddenly out of the blues? You see me in church on Sunday, you didn't ask me? I said, no, we're concerned. We're praying. We're having a prayer meeting. We are praying for you. And I'm thinking, what's going on now? Who's praying for what? And then my pastor said, can you come and see me anytime today or tomorrow? And my heart says, I better go now. Something is not right. I said, I will come. I drove. It's almost 1 hour from Choa Chu Kang down to... I drove. In my heart, I'm thinking, what went wrong? Did my wife go and complain about me? Why? What did I do? I didn't... Why ask me? So I drive up to the office. I'm not frightened. I'm actually furious, you know. Why I don't? And I walk and I knock my pastor's door. He said, come, Pastor Pizzo, you want a coffee? You want coffee? Yes, I said, yes, please. Sit down. And he still asked me, how are you and your wife? I said, my wife is okay. Then I asked, did my wife complain? No, your wife didn't. And then he tells me, Pastor Pizzo, I had a call. One of my leaders saw you in a red light district. And I said, oh gosh. Why? He said, this is the thing that really frustrated. He said, he saw you smiling and so happy. And I said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Hallelujah. I'm happy. But the accusation was, I was going to a red light. And I tell you, they made that an issue because I was under my church. And they called me to discipline me for something I didn't do. And I got so angry and I told my pastor, I will not proceed with this case anymore until the complainant sits here. failing which I said, I'm going to come on you because you brought an accusation on me. Really? Yes. And the pastor's panicked because they know my background. He said, he talked to the guy on the phone and the guy was trying to avoid. He said, no, Pastor, me so want you. I tell you, when the guy came, I had to pray God. That time really pray for me. I said, Lord. And I asked him, what did you see? He said, Pastor Miso, I passed on the road. I was driving. I saw you walking out. You were smiling and laughing. So I said, what sin did I commit? The sin of smiling? The sin of walking? What did I do? He said, but you know, it's a red light district. I said, how do you know? You been there? Honestly. And then in the end, to cut, I said, listen, you know why I was smiling? One of our drug addicts, the mom lives in that home. She's not a, and she was dying of cancer. And I went there to pray. And the mother was 80-something, received Jesus. Don't you think I should be happy? And that boy was so, he was crying. In all his wickedness, he wanted to make good with his mom before she left. And then I whacked, oh, I really whacked him. I said, listen, this is the danger of assumption. This is where you destroy somebody's life. This is where you're a game changer that destroys my life by calling my ministry. Why couldn't you pick up the phone and call me? And that's where I learned, friend. In just doing the work of God, sometimes you become vulnerable. But if you keep your heart clean and straight, I will never do that. And I said, anyway, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, if I was there, my face is so handsome on the street. Anybody will see. You think I will walk this way? I will be dodgy, man. I put like Nathan's head with dark glasses. But friend, I learned one thing. I went to that home with an intention because this family cried out for help from God. And I was one that God sent to go, friend. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus intentionally went. Yet Jesus knew in the back of his mind a scandal will be brewing. And he was not afraid to take the full blast of that scandal because he loved that lady. People today won't talk good, but they tend to talk bad faster. They gossip all this. And I tell you, that person, from the day this happened, I think he just had sheer fright and fear of me. I think when he saw me next time, he just didn't look. He didn't want to see. But I want you to know, friend, don't let this thing deter you if your heart is right and you're going to help someone. You've got to help, friend. Jesus went there. Can you see the setup? That lady had a life that needed a change. That lady, her whole destiny needed to be changed. That lady's community needed a change. Why won't you be the game changer in somebody's life? Why won't you? We like to hear testimonies of people's life change. Good. Why don't you be the testimony of change? Why do you only listen to stories and read books? Why don't you be the book of life, the story that you can tell, that somebody's life can be changed? If Jesus didn't meet this lady, her life will not change. She would continue in sin. The death grabs her soul and she's gone to eternal hell. Jesus became that game changer. It was intentional. Number two, not only was it intentional, we can have good intentions, we can go there, we can share, we can tell, we can go there. But you know, I think more than just that intention, Jesus went there with a strong belief that only Jesus could change her. I'm sure that lady, I'm just stretching the thoughts. I'm sure that lady must have heard of Jesus walking about the towns. I'm sure those days Jesus was the pop star, man. Everywhere you went, they said, Jesus just left us. Jesus is coming to us. He would have been on all the newspapers, Jesus. And I'm sure that lady, even in her ignorance, in her waywardness, would have heard who Jesus is. Which brings us to today. Everybody knows Jesus, like you and I. But how many of us believe in Jesus? Belief is one step. The second step, how many of us trust in that belief of Jesus? You know, the devil also believe in Jesus. Demons also. Demons believe. But you mention the name, they run. Why? Why do you think in the name of Jesus they run? Because they believe and they know what Jesus can do, and yet they can't trust him because they are demons. And I'm sure when Jesus went there, he went there with disbelief. Only I can save. It brings me to this good thought as a Christian. I can't save anyone. Huh? I can't leave alone. I can't save myself from all my problems. But you know what is my belief? Even though I'm in crisis, I'm struggling, God can save them. My belief is this. Only Jesus is the answer. Only Jesus has the power to separate one from sin. Only Jesus has the power to break down every stronghold, every chain that shackles them. He's only Jesus. You can talk, but if you don't believe in what you're telling, it doesn't mean anything. I might as well put a CD or a cassette and listen, but you got to believe. You got to believe in Jesus. You got to believe God can heal, God can deliver. It's not I, but God. God can do it, friend. Jesus believed what, you know, Jesus was doing everything not on his own will. He always said, I do what my Father asked me to do. I'm doing the will of God. I wonder as a Christian, are we in the will of God or are we in the wheel of fortune? You know what's fortune? We trust in luck, circumstances. He believed that the only person that could save that lady was me. That's why he set his life on that journey, even though it would be a scandal, but salvation can only come through him. Salvation can only come through him, friend. You know, you sit in your office, you sit in your recreation place, your whatever, where you recreate, where you educate, where you work, you are meant to be the extension of salvation. And if you don't talk, you stop that line. You stop it there. But if you talk to somebody, you extend that rail line that if Jesus is coming on a train, he'll go through and pass there. Some of us believe in God, but we don't have belief that that person can be saved. You know why? We dislike that person. There's a lot of prejudice, biasness. Remember last week when we did, I said, remember, a lot of the disciples didn't even know they're sitting in the presence of greatness. They never knew he could do things like that, huh? And maybe our doubts are so strong that we cannot go beyond it. I believe in God, but I don't believe God can save that person. I believe God, but I think that guy is beyond redemption. Have you heard people say that? Man, that guy can't be saved. When you ever say that, that's a job for Jesus. He takes the can't be saved. And his master's and his PhD in saving the can't be saved. That's his strength. Amen? For when I'm weak, you're my strength. And Jesus believed. Jesus believes with his heart, she needed an encounter. And he parked himself next to her on a bright afternoon. You know, I like it. He did it in the afternoon. If he did it after 6 p.m., oh, what a scandal. Jesus is on a date. Already people are making accusation that Mary Magdalene and Jesus, how the world can twist the truth. And yet there are scholars who buy into it. Biblical theologians who buy into it. They twisted the truth. But Jesus said with a bright... You know, it has a lot of significance if you look at it. Jesus said in the openness of it, he was not afraid to be seen. You know, in my church, whenever I do counseling, I like to sit in food courts. And one day, one of the members commented, Pastor Miso, you are hungry for attention. I said, why? See, every time as you sitting in the food court, you sit in the center. Why don't you sit in... I said, listen, don't set me up. I sit in the center, you come... If I sit in the corner with one of the girls, gossip, Pastor Miso is there. In the corner. I saw. He's in the corner. Nobody can see. He's sitting there. I like... Yes, I always sit open. Actually, I like people to see me. Honestly, I don't doubt that. Amen. Who doesn't like? Come on, man. Such a handsome guy like me. No. But I always said, you know why I do it? Because I want to keep myself above. What did Paul say? As a minister, keep yourself above reproach. Don't give people an opportunity. Even though I sit there, people still got opportunity to say. Jesus sat in the most conspicuous place. He sat there. Everyone. And he knew the lady will have to come there. Believe, friend, I tell you, you have the power to bring change in people's life. You have the power. You can't change, but you have the power that changes. Like someone said, we are architects of change. The designer is up there. We are just the architects that go and bring the change. Are you an agent of change, an architect of change, or are you against change? Which are you? You know, you want this church to be filled, let me tell you. As you go out, you share the good news. Don't talk about your church, talk about Jesus. Don't talk about anything else, talk about Jesus. I know this because I'm speaking from experience. I took the church 14 years ago, less than half of you guys, kids. And every Sunday I said this, and I proved to them every Sunday I would go. I would bring people to church. And I said, all you need is tell them. You know, let's be honest, as you sit here, if there's something good, you like to go there? We're just human beings, huh? We are attracted. What good? I must go and see. Let's see what's good. All you need is to see. And then let God do the work. But if you don't bring somebody to see and to sit down, nothing's going to happen. You know, don't ever think that the pastor does the change. No, I'm not a change agent. Huh? I'm just like you. Your CEO doesn't go out and do the... Your CEO employs you. You do the work. You're not employed. You're called by God. Hey, let's do it, man. If you really believe God can change life, you believe this church can be a game changer, you get out and make it true. You go. You make it true. I tell you, you see. When your eyes see this, you are motivated and challenged to keep going. But because you are not moving, you don't see things. You know, you have only one life. Think about it. Huh? You know, I have a good friend, Pastor Michael Sim. Last month or 2 months, I went to his church and I was telling Pastor Calvin, hey, his voice is really bad. And I thought, wow, I can't sing like Michael. Michael is a good singer. But you know something? I can talk. And before my voice ceases, I'll talk. Because the day you lose your voice, you cry in silence. You know, let me tell you the silence. When I had a heart attack in my mouth, in the car, when I had a heart attack, I'm crying out, help. I can hear me calling, but people can't hear me. And I was calling, help, help. I can't breathe. I can't breathe. Even in my church, I can't breathe, please. But I'm calling. Nobody heard what's that. And then I thought, wow, how powerful a voice is. I wanted help, you know, because I can't breathe. I'm feeling choked. But I'm in my ear, I can hear me calling for help. But nobody heard. They said, Pastor Mitchell, we didn't hear. And I thought, maybe if God take my voice away, I'll be crying that way. A voice void of volume. A voice void of volume. No volume. Jesus took the opportunity to talk, friend. You know, wherever you guys are young, engage. If you don't do that, we lose one generation. And if we lose one generation, we lose two. And every void in there, the church pays the heavy price. The kingdom of God is affected. And never judge the audience. Oh, this one cannot. Never. Don't let that be the deterrent. Oh, I don't think I can. This person, I want to talk to my kind. No, there's no your kind. Huh? One kind only. One kind. I remember going to Singapore and they told me, what is your race? I said, say again. What is my race? Human being. Human race. See, what is your race? I thought running. No, I don't run and walk anymore, man. I used to do it when I was young, but not. No, I said, I'm a human. No, they said, what is your race? You know why? They want to find out whether you're Chinese, Malay, whatever. But that's not a race. That isn't a race. That's an ethnic background. There's only one kind. Never, we are all sinners. You know that, friend? Can I say that? We're all sinners. Don't say I'm a better sinner than that sinner. Oh, he's a sinner, but he's one grade higher than me. I'm one grade lower. No. We are all sinners. We are saved by one God. One act of grace. One God. No, Jesus never. In fact, if you look at Jesus, he always took the underdogs. The lepers. The Samaritan woman. He went for those. He said, I came for those that are rejected and despised. I came. When you start assessing and say, I want this, you never get that. Because in your strength. But just talk to anyone. You know, I talked to somebody. I went to a restaurant and I talked to the guy. And the guy, I think he felt irritated. He wants to serve every time I'm calling him. Then I call him, he nothing to serve. But I'm asking him a question, why you don't go to church? Why you not a Christian? And then I don't know whether he took a test. He said, if you want me to go to church, you pick me up. Hallelujah. Brother. Before he knew it, I'm there, man. He said, I'm joking. I said, no, I don't joke. I never joke. This stuff matters. Other things I can joke. And then I realized, when you push, people need to be pushed a little bit. Just a little bit. Don't be a Bible basher. Whenever I hear people say, Pastor Pizzo, I can't share to someone because I don't know the Bible, then I say, you're a liar. I didn't ask you to share the Bible. I asked you to share the goodness of God in your life. You can't share that. You can read the whole Bible from Genesis to, and if you still can't understand and don't believe, no point. You don't go and tell a Christian about theology. He thinks it's a telescope. You don't go and tell him eschatology. He said, what's happening? But you tell him, you know, my God loves you. You know, I was a sinner. I did drugs. I was, my life is changed. Would you like to have a change in life? That's how I engage people. I said, are you happy with your life? He said, yes. I said, are you or not? Okay. I said, do you like to have a happier life? Yeah. Who doesn't want? You ever heard anybody say, no, I want a bad life. Can you please introduce me to something? No. Everybody wants a good life. Honestly, what? Then from there, hallelujah. Then the guy wished I didn't open my mouth. But Jesus spoke. Jesus knew. Let me tell you, friend, if you keep your heart with God, you can discern needs in people's life. And if you keep your eyes open and your ears, you hear the cry of their heart. You know, I've always learned when people pray, I try not to listen to the words. I listen from where the words are coming. For the Bible says, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth cries out. Whatever is in your heart, you cry. You cry to God. Thirdly, not only Jesus believed, he was intentional in that. Jesus spoke to this lady with the greatest belief that only he can give her the eternal water that she'll drink and never thirst again. Only she could receive from him. And he was the only one that could provide that water. Not holy water. Not thank you water. But he could provide a refreshing flow of water that she would never thirst again. In that invitation Jesus gave her, Jesus was able to transform her thinking. Then she thought, I every day have to take buckets of water. And this guy says, I can get water, free supply every day. She, in her simple mind, thought of this water, but Jesus led her into the water of life, the rivers of life. And in that transformation, listen, the power of transformation is it's like a ripple. When a stone drops, it takes one, two, and it goes as far as the lake is. Jesus dropped that into the lake of her life. The Bible says she ran back. They didn't say she cycled or whistle. No, she ran back. The urgency was she ran back and told everyone, hey, I met somebody who knows everything of me. You know, I tell you, sometimes you won't see somebody, but when you put something in their heart, it begins to work. This could be true. How did that person know? Why is this? There must be a truth. You allow that guy to think, to think, to think. And as he thinks, unknown to that human mind, as you think, it sinks. As you think, it sinks deeper. As you think, it sinks deeper. You absorb it until you respond. She ran back and she told him, he knows everything of my life. You know what? I think people say, so you mean he's number six on the line? Because she got five husbands? They must have thought, is he number six now? But she brought back a different news. You know, can you think of a woman, five husbands? One wife is good enough. Amen. Hallelujah. I ask for no more. No, honestly, I'm not joking. This is a serious part of my life. Huh? One is enough. Can you imagine the first marriage? This was in her mind. When she's exchanged vows, we will be forever. And then it broke up. And then the second marriage she go through, this went in her mind, I hope this one will last. And it broke up. And the third one, I hope this one really turns out to be good. And it broke. And the fifth one, she said, this is the final one. It has to work. I can't go on anymore. Five. Can you imagine the trauma in her life? I'm a marriage counselor. I've done 390 over weddings and marriage counseling. And I've always told them, remember, every marriage starts off with a good word and belief. It's going to, somewhere along the line, something twittered, something turned, something snapped. And the same voice that said, I love you, says, I hate you. The same voice that says, you are everything to me, you are nothing to me. Can you imagine 5 times she went through that? And this time, this Jesus comes and gives her a promise that she grabbed with legs, hands, and she ran to tell him, I found, for once, I found it. I found it. What is it? I found the answer to my, I found everything that my heart had been crying through all these, I found today. And she ran. I found it. And she knew deep in her core, this is it, what I wanted. Every man could love me. They loved me for a season and then they hated me. Those of you who are married, remember this. Eh? Wedding is a one-day event. Marriage is a lifelong journey. We spend so much money making the wedding look good and we spend nothing in building the strength of that marriage. And no wonder we pay a heavy price down the road. She found it. She in all that, she found it. She forgot about everything, Samaritan, Jew. She forgot woman, man. She forgot all she wanted. She found it. And she ran. And yeah, and told the whole neighbor. She called out, you know. She called out. I found it. I've met a person. Come. And the whole community came. Not only they came, they changed. Jesus didn't only change her. She became an agent of change for the community. How many of you sit down honestly, your changed life has affected this much? She's a one day, she just found Jesus one day and she brought one community. Some of us have been 10 years and we brought no one to Christ. What an indictment will be on our lives. One day, she ran back and told the whole community. Can you imagine the community must have? I'm sure they had a bit negative about her because the Bible said that's why she come out at 3 o'clock because when the community is not there. Because a lady with her reputation, nobody want to go to the well and take water with her. She came out when all of them are working so nobody will see her. But she forgot the eye of the Lord searches and he looks for the right target. Make your life, you know, friend, sometimes I dream, one day I'm going to preach. You know, when I first came here, I went to Victoria Market. You know Victoria Market? Every Saturday night behind, not me playing the guitar, somebody. Every night I will preach from 12 o'clock to 1:30 a.m. And then one day some joker took egg and he whacked the egg on my face, you know. And I look at him, I say, man, I'm preaching now. Don't provoke me, brother. Hallelujah, God is good. And then, after that, I want to go to the toilet. When I went to the toilet, this guy walked into the toilet in the same cubicle. I said, hallelujah, Lord. And then he looks at me and said, hey, man, why are you messed up? Second, he asked me, why is your face messed up? I said, because some clown threw an egg at me. And then he realized it was him. He didn't talk. He washed his hand, he went. What? The egg hit me on the head. My head, the egg broke, not my head, but the egg broke. But all of my... We just, every Saturday I used to go, I love to preach at Victoria Market. Because a lot of druggies out there. Oh, I used to love, you know, the adrenaline rush when you are there. And I like to roll up my sleeve, a bit muscle. Those that had a bit more muscles. Oh, not fat, honestly. No, my muscles. Eh? But you know, friend, let me tell you, I want to bring this to your heart. If you believe that God has changed you, if you believe your heart is filled with God, you must believe that out of the overflow that, lives will be touched. It has to be. It's just, you don't have to be a mathematician. What is in comes out. What are you doing with what's inside? Are you just containing it? When it reaches a certain level, God cannot top up anymore. What are you doing? Take this opportunity. If you want to see, if you want to be a game changer, let go what's in you and let the world know. I pray that as a church, that we will always wake up, God, make me a game changer today for one life. Just one life. I went to the hospital for a heart. And I dislike hospitals. I don't. They told me you got to stay 3 days. I said, that's what you say. They wired me up. And then I want to go to the toilet. They said, we'll bring a canister. I said, say again? I want to go to the toilet. Can you bring the toilet to me? They said, yeah, we got a canister. I said, what's a canister? I said, no, I don't. And I just woke up and I walked with all the wires, the alarm going on. And I went. And the doctor said, you're a very difficult patient. I said, yeah, I'm not easy to be put down because... And then the nurse leans over me to give me, she smells like a cigarette. She smells a walking cigarette. I said, man, you smell like Marlboro. She said, yeah, I just smoke. I said, you work here 25 years. You're not afraid to get a heart attack? You look every day. The cardio ward. She said, people who don't smoke also die. Then I realized something. The longer you remain in the sin, you become like that. Everybody will die. Everybody will live. But they forgot the next step. After death, where do you? And I started sharing with the nurse. And then she said, oh, you know, I used to go Mount Dandenong Church. I said, you used. Are you going now? She said, haven't thought about it. Sometimes we need to kickstart people's thoughts. Jesus kickstart something in the lady's heart. That lady went back and kickstarted something in the community. And the whole community responded to that. Because Jesus believes he's a game changer in life. Are you a game changer? How many of you like, you got families that need to be changed? You want to say, God, I want to be a game changer. I don't want to go to heaven alone. I know I can't live in heaven alone. I tried 1 week in the Grampians in Crestview. I can't live 5 days there alone. I sure need every one of you in heaven. I sure need everyone. Because I got to go around talking to one by one all eternity. I hope I don't run out. I got to have more people. And then I thought, friend, this morning, God brings storms in our life to correct and to perfect. And in that storm of perfection, God has a purpose for you, friend. In that storm of correction, He has a plan for you. Have you read that plan and purpose? God never does something to our life for the sake of hurting. He's not sadistic. He does it because He has a long-term plan. A long-term plan. You can be a game changer. Change someone's life. The world is crying out for change, you know, friend. Donald Trump has... You know, the why they voted Donald Trump? He's not... this time around, America is governed by Mickey and Donald Duck, Because the vice president is Mickey Spence or Mike Spence. So they said Donald and Mickey runs America now. But you know why people voted for them? Because they're sick and tired of all the promises of all the major parties. And likewise, people are sick and tired of some of the way Christians are talking out there. They want to see the real thing. Come on, man. They want to see the real thing. They want to see something they can believe. They want to see something that's tangible. It's real. They are sick and tired of talk, no walk. Don't let the world win. Make sure Jesus wins. Amen? Be a game changer, friend. You know, I pray for you guys that this church will change the community. Don't keep change inside. Change is meant to be outside. Take that change. Change that world. And someday you sit down in the twilight years of your years and you say, Lord, I've run a good race for you. I've done a good one for you, Lord. Whatever you gave me, I poured it out, Lord. I have been spent, but a good spend. Because life needs to be changed. Church is not about you and me enjoying. Church is about the loss. Amen? As you sit down and as you go back this week, ponder how much of my life has been spent on other lives. It's not your resources, only your money, but your life. to see lives come to know. You know, I have a guy in my church who is an atheist. You know, atheists are liars sometimes. They say they don't believe in God. But they're arguing with you about God. The fact that you argue about something, you believe about it. Isn't that true? And he said, Pastor Mitchell, I will prove you wrong. Oh, man. I came back. You know, when people say that, my brain go in overdrive. Ooh, wow. Muscles, flesh, everything. And I said, and we journey with it. Every Saturday, don't say, every Saturday after service, he will engage me. You sure this? He keeps going. One Saturday, he was out at the altar crying. And before I prayed for him, I said, look at me, man. Look at me, Adrian. Look at me, I said. I said, look at me. Everybody, I said, look at me now. I said, do you believe in God? I said, do you believe? Listen to my voice. I said, he said, yeah. Then he shouted, I believe. I said, you thought you could prove me wrong. No, you can do anything. But you know who I represent? I'm not his legal representation. I'm his living representation, I said. When there are people defeated in here, they talk slowly. No. I said, listen, look at me. Talk loud. Then he shouted. I believe in Jesus. I said, you're not shouting to me, you're shouting to him. Because every Saturday for 3 years, he will, any speaker come, he will engage. Are you sure the Bible is from God? Are you sure Jesus wrote this? I said, Jesus never wrote anything. He said, then he said, this is the word of God. I said, yeah. I said, you give me what I write. Is your word not you writing? I wrote for you your word. You know, I tell you, 3 years, you know, who am I? Tell you, and I, who am I? God has been good to me. God forgave me a lot. I tell you honestly, some Saturdays I gear the sermon, honestly, I'll be on just to get him. But it never worked. Because, I mean, I'm as much as I love him, but he was a pain in my anatomy. And I just, but when he came, I tell you, he became so good. He changed. And then he you know, really his life, he had, actually he was going through no job. You know, when people, things are not working in their life, he's got a good job. Now he's gone to Sydney. He works there. And then I look at him. I said, I always believe nobody, no one, atheist, agnostic, no one can stand before God and deny God. Because he is the best defender, best lawyer, best magistrate. He can articulate his case. You just allow him to speak through you. I pray, church, we be game changers for Jesus. Let's make this church a church that people will speak out there. This church has brought change to many lives. From this church, I found Jesus. From this church, I found healing. From this church, my family has been restored. From this church, my addiction. From this church, I found hope. You know, the church needs to be a game changer for the world. Amen. Let's pray, church. Hallelujah.